Before we get started with today's show, we do want to warn you that this particular fictional episode deals with a tough and very real mental health issue, postpartum depression. Listener discretion is advised. From the moment I met her, I knew she was my future. I fell for this girl, and for the remainder of my future, this girl would love me too. I just knew it. It was in class. I think it was physics. It could have been Spanish for all I knew. I saw this girl from across the room. Almost cliche, I know, but I was entranced. Sure enough, we were in several classes together. She was gorgeous in a peculiar way. Not classically sexy per se, but certainly cute. Very cute. She would do something easily seen as dorky, but it was all the more adorable to me. Cosplay, for instance. Oh my god. She loved doing cosplay. She told me of all the events she had attended. She would never go to two events in the same costume. That would be atrocious. She never drank caffeine greater than even a ginger ale.
It keeps me up. And coffee? Up for days.
A lightweight, to be sure. The rest of college, I dedicated to making Bethany my wife.
Beth.
That's how she wanted me to address her.
That's how all my friends address me.
Beth, my classmate, would soon be Beth, my wife. Just you wait. I do.
Do you, Bethany Noble, take Gabriel Wendell to be your husband?
I do.
It is my pleasure to introduce you all to Gabriel and Bethany Wendell. You may now kiss your bride.
Mission accomplished. We had not only graduated, but we also got married. She had become quite prominent with our groups of friends and making specialty quilts and fixing hems. She would meet with people to get an idea of who they were, and like magic, she'd make their history in colorful patterns. Even the stitching was somehow elevating the story from the fabric. She was a goddess. She was my goddess.
What about this one?
Do you think you'll like the curb appeal? Babe, don't you want potential customers to see the store and think, wow?
Gabe, of course I do. But I'm also trying to be realistic. It's the love that goes into the quilts and any alteration that matters. Once they see my work, the storefront doesn't matter. But no, the curb appeal isn't here. Yet. Think about it. We could put the sign right there in the window, display my quilts there, and a potted tree by the door. Let's ask if we can repaint the front and add a barn quilt block over the awning right there.
Okay, so a barn quilt is a symbol people in the area use to let other quilters know they're in the club. Her mind was running a million miles an hour. I loved it. Her outstretched arm barely extended past my head, as she was not a tall woman, but her passion more than made up for any lack of stature. Needless to say, we took the place and appropriately called it Beth's Quilt Studio. It became quite successful from the get-go. It wasn't much time after that when Bethany surprised me with the rose petals on the bed when I got home. That was always my move. Babe?
Gabe, I have some bad news, and I wanted to break it the right way.
Okay.
I can't get pregnant.
Having babies was always in our plans. We had already named them after characters from our favorite TV shows. Call us stupid, but this was our plan regardless.
Because I already am!
What the... This is a terrible pregnancy announcement. Don't do this to your husband if you're married. I, however, was elated despite the method of news. The rose petals were promptly brushed to the side. Several visits to the doctors later, we learned that we were having a baby girl. Just as we had secretly hoped. We wanted a girl to start off our family so she'd have a fighting chance against her eventual younger brothers. Months later, we held the baby shower and made sure to write the thank you cards before the baby came. Babies are hard work, and there's no way we could be expected to raise the girl and write them at the same time. Clarissa, 7 pounds, 4 ounces. She was the most beautiful baby I had ever seen. Everybody says that, but have you seen some babies? Hideous. Clarissa. She was perfect. She even had her mother's chin. After I picked this little fleck of stuff off her cheek. Yeah. Much better. This is C, my baby. Oh, ours. Here.
She's beautiful.
It's all she could say. Exhausted. My beautiful baby factory of a wife, Bethany, gave us an equally beautiful baby. While C cried, my wife passed out. I had read half the book she had on the subject of babies, but that was still a good 10 or so. They had chapters and everything. None of them prepared me for just how hard it would be.
He wasn't prepared. He expected the baby to be a simple matter of changing diapers, my feeding her, and playtime. It wasn't until I was in the wheelchair on the way to the car that I became cognizant of where I was and what was going on.
Hey, babe. I think she smiled at me. It took a minute before she stopped crying, but now she's... Oh. Maybe it's gas. Is it gas? Is it too early to be gassy?
Our perfect baby. We got home. Home, sweet home. Clarissa wasn't the best at latching, and my breasts weren't feeling any better. I was in pain. But these weren't surprises to us. Well, not to me at least. Gabe was cute when he'd look back at our baby C. But my God, he was dumb. He was the youngest of three and had no experience tending to a child. I, on the other hand, was the oldest of three. And the twins were born 11 years after I was. I changed more diapers than I could care to count, but this time was different. I had a new sense of responsibility. I was the mother of this baby. The beautiful Clarissa. 2 days after we got home, I don't think she drank a drop of milk. Something was wrong. The doctor recommended a therapist. Squeezing, nudging, angles, nothing. Clarissa was determined to a hunger strike. After 3 therapists, we learned that C had a tongue tie. This required a cutting. 3 days without sleep, and finally we had the magic cure. Except now she's hurt. A hurt baby certainly isn't latching either. Did we make it worse? Clarissa latched! And I finally felt her taking milk, thank God. I wept yet again. Crying had become my frequent release as of late. Clarissa's incessant crying and me not knowing how to fix her problems sent me off into tears, too. And these hormones don't help either. The books just don't quite prepare you for this. We've barely been making it by, despite the store's success. It took money to make money. So, Gabriel has been working nearly the whole time. He comes home, plays with C for a few minutes, and then goes to the computer to finish his workday. He knows I'm struggling, but he's even less capable than I am.
I would feed her myself, but I can't.
This was true. His breasts were obviously producing no milk. But this never made me feel any better. One night, he drew me a bath. Candles, bath bomb, and he even had the book I had been reading set ready to read. I reluctantly agreed. 1 hour and 45 minutes later, I looked at my phone. I had completely lost track of time. Clarissa had made no sounds. I got up, put my robe around me, and found Gabe and C. Just as content as could be. What was wrong with me that C never calmed to contentment? Her tongue was healed. Clarissa was latching. We were out of the woods, finally. My beautiful C. Another diaper. Another feeding. Another cry. Another feeding. 2 more diapers. Crying. Crying. Constant crying. She wasn't content. I loved C, of course. She's my baby. But she was always discontented. I was angry at her. I would be lying if I didn't say that on one of my trips to the doctor, that I hadn't considered driving off Mesa Avenue, where that cliff is, with baby C in the car. Of course, I never would. Gabriel could never forgive me. Besides, this upset is only temporary.
I think she's hungry.
Have you checked her diaper?
Yes. Just 2 minutes. Oops. Clarissa needs a change again.
Does Clarissa seem hot to you?
Bethany, she's our first child. I really think you need to stop being so paranoid.
Dr. Shelby, please. Yes. It's Bethany Wendell. Clarissa is running hot. I think there's something wrong. I need to see Dr. Shelby ASAP. Yes, today at 7:15 sounds great. We'll see you then. Thank you. Gabe, can you get C ready? Actually, do you mind taking her? I'm still exhausted.
Babe, you're fine. I'm sorry, but the company needs the new logo by 8 tomorrow. You'll be fine, Beth. You love Clarissa.
Fine. So there I am, driving Gabriel's daughter again, screaming Clarissa. Shut up! Just shut up! Well, that's how it would have sounded in the movies anyway. Dr. Shelby assured me that C was fine. A little hot, but baby's temperatures run wacky for some time. But to bring her back if she exceeds 102. We drove past Mesa Avenue yet again, and no incident. I hate that I couldn't simply pass her off to someone else. I had to pull over on the way home to feed Clarissa. I guess I can't complain since she's latching now. I changed her diaper too. Maybe she'd shut up this time. We got home and Gabe took the baby. His baby. How much sleep does he get? How often does he cry? Gabe and C, just hanging out. How I hate him. He does next to nothing, and yet Clarissa thinks he's just the bee's knees. Worthless Gabe and his daughter. She's happy. I deserve her happiness. I took her and started to swing her in my arms, screaming. Shh. Shh. Come on, C. Shh. Take her.
Aw, what's wrong with Mommy? That's a good girl. That's my girl.
Sometimes my attitude gets the better of me. Sleep would do me some good. A month of this would be draining to anyone. I'll be fine. Gabe has C. They'll be fine. C's crying. Of course she is. Did I even get any sleep? Oh, it's dark outside. I guess so. Come here, Clarissa. Smelly, hungry Clarissa. Did you change Clarissa?
Yeah.
Recently?
I get it. You're upset. I'm not the one upsetting you, though. We knew going into this that this would be difficult. Did you at least have a good nap?
You just don't get it, do you? How about you sleep out here again? I've got Clarissa. Another night of sleeping alone. Sleeping. Another few more days of screaming past the red zone, and those days of constant feeding, changing, and attempts at bonding. She hates me. She doesn't like me like she likes her daddy. It's fine by me. I hate her too.
Last time it worked. Maybe a bath will make Bethany feel better. If only she would accept it. Of course, she rejected it.
A bath isn't a cure-all. I still have to feed and change C, and who's gonna make dinner? You?
Yes. I would have, at least, given the chance. I know the love of my life was upset. The baby cries all the time. Heck, I cry. I cry quite regularly now. Now that I have a baby. I used to never cry, and then the baby came along. Somebody needs to give the impression of strength, and Beth certainly wasn't the rock. I was glad for my buddy Kyle and his wife Cheyenne. They had a toddler, so Beth had someone to talk to while I decompressed with Kyle over a game of Streets of War. But this call from Cheyenne was not what I wanted to get while I was at work the next day.
Gabriel, you need to come to University Hospital. Something's happened.
I was in no shape to drive. Patrick, my coworker, took me downtown to university. Once there, I took my dear baby Clarissa in my arms. She was asleep but bruised and cut on her arms and forehead, tubes attached to her. The other bed my wife had been laid, beaten, cut, and badly mangled, lifeless. Beth has been taken from me to take care of Clarissa alone. Cheyenne has already explained to me about the accident. It appeared someone must have run her off of Mesa Avenue at the clearing. Clarissa was in my arms. Tears streamed down my face. I have cried so very many times since my dear Clarissa was born. This time was the hardest. From the moment I met her, I knew she was my future. I fell for this girl and for the remainder of my future. This girl would love me too. I just knew it. If this story hits a little too close to home for you, and you are currently struggling with postpartum depression or think you may be, please contact a therapist or call 1-800-944-4773. For the voice of Gabriel, I am John Badger.
And I'm Becky Collins, and I was the voice for Bethany.
For the role of officiant, I am Sam Brown.
I'm Ann Robinson, and I was the voice of Cheyenne.
Hey guys, I'm John Badger. I wrote and produced this particular episode of the Mercury Theater Podcast, and want to let you know that we do have a website, so please visit that every hit and any kind of movement that we can generate from this podcast. That would be fantastic, especially since we are just starting out. So yeah, there's that. And also, I did want to make sure that you understood that this episode was not typical of what we're anticipating being our podcast. It was right down a dark path, and while necessary, wasn't necessarily a fun adventure for a lot of people. It was more a story that needed to be told. For the most part, Mercury Theater Podcast will be providing much lighter fare and borderline comedic episodes. So there is going to be that differentiation for sure. So please don't listen to this episode and think that this is typical Mercury Theater Podcast, because we have a lot more to do, a lot more content. That's going to be much more diverse and much more enjoyable. So please stick with us while we're enduring some growing pains. And we look forward to every episode coming out. But definitely visit us on mercurytheaterpodcast.com. And also, if you could go on any of your sites like iTunes and whatever to give us a 5-star review. Again, this is our first episode, so any vote helps to kind of get our name out there. So we appreciate you, and we look forward to the next episodes.